Today's date's August 24th, 2020. It is 14:50 hours. I'm Investigator Andrew Peek with the Mobile County District Attorney's Office. Conducting an interview with, you say your name for me?
Tristan Hughes.
Tristan Hughes. In reference to the traffic crash that occurred on August 1st, 2020. So what I've been told is that you were with Samantha, y'all call her Sam, is that right?
Correct.
The would have been July 31st.
Correct.
Here at these apartments, the Highland.
At Spring Hill.
That's correct.
Yeah. 151 Duro Drive.
So the reason I'm over here talking to you is somebody else told me that y'all were hanging out that night before this crash. Okay. So just tell me what y'all were doing and who was around and that kind of stuff.
So I was on what was called my off block, and that is a period of about a month where it's just where I don't have a rotation for pharmacy school.
Yeah.
So for pharmacy school, my fourth year, we have month-long rotations, and we get one off block in our final year. And mine happened to be in July, and it was coming to an end. I think it ended August 3rd. It did end August 3rd. She had just finished her rotation at the Children's and Women's Hospital. She was an OB-GYN rotation, so she was helping deliver babies and things like that. Mm-hmm. So what we were doing is just hanging out by the pool. We had done this two times prior. She had done this dozens of times prior. She was pretty regular at the pool, had a lot of friends there amongst the other apartment tenants. Most of them were older than us. They had children our age, pretty much. But I got down there after the gym around, I think I was there about 3 to 4 abouts. She...
Down by the pool?
Down by the pool, yeah. Yes, sir. She showed up later, just after 4. And we just were there. There were other people in the pool, none that we knew, so it was just us talking about the end of her rotation, how her test went for the end of her rotation, how mine was going to go, that was just about to start, things like that.
Okay. Was there a whole bunch of people down there that day? Or
I would put the number at between 8 and 12 people.
Who was she with specifically? She was coming down there to meet you? You?
Yes, she was just there alone. She invited my wife and I, and I tried to get my wife to go.
And you and your wife live here?
Yes, sir.
And Samantha lived here?
Yes, sir.
They were just hanging out by the pool, the place you live?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Totally normal thing. I mean, like I said, we'd done it two times before.
Yeah. Were y'all good friends with her? Like, y'all hung out on the weekends all the time?
The bizarre thing is we were actually not. Sam and I weren't that close.
She's in a different program than you, right? It's not like y'all were walking hand in hand.
Correct, yeah. Different program. My wife and her were in the same med school class and hung out a few times, but, you know, wouldn't characterize them as best friends. They were certainly friends, but not hanging out every weekend. And really, I just was there at the pool just because I had nothing to do all day on my off block. I was here. I hadn't found a job yet. I just did today, or this week, rather. So I would just be there. She would be there studying, or she would be there with the other apartment tenants and would invite me over to spend time with them as well. The thing I have to say is that Sam and I were not, you know, we weren't talk every day close.
Yeah.
We were, oh, you're out here too? Okay.
Yeah.
Talk close.
Okay. Cool. So she just happened to be down there when you went down there?
She invited my wife and I, I mentioned a little earlier.
Yeah.
She invited my wife and I earlier that day, and I said, yeah, I'll try and get her to go. And so I just showed up there later. We both knew we'd be out there at some point, but we didn't have a plan necessarily to meet.
Yeah, I got you. So was everybody drinking? Were you drinking? Did you see Sam drinking?
So the drinking started. I had a glass of wine that I brought to the pool that one glass, standard size glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, started drinking around 4 or 5. What I remember is I had mine and I was reading, and 5 o'clock approached, and she left to go pick up her friend Paige, who was also with us that night. And on their way back, they stopped and got a 12-pack of White Claw and something to eat, McDonald's, I believe. And so they ate that, and, excuse me, they ate their dinner and were drinking their White Claws, and I had three. And that was over, you know, the next 2 to 3 hours, right? So I left at, I would say, 7-ish. Yeah, you're right here. I left at about 19:30 to go back, eat a little more. Just on my own, check on my wife upstairs, see how she was doing. She has a major test that she had been studying for med school, so she was up there studying to check on her, eat, so on and so forth. I had 3 White Claws. The 9 left that were in the container, I know that they consumed all of them.
Who's they?
Between Paige and Sam consumed the 9 between themselves.
Yeah.
I also know that Jonathan supplied another bottle of wine at the pool that I was not there for. That was consumed amongst them, and then later on in the evening they had another bottle of wine after that. So 2 bottles of wine total that Jonathan
brought down the pool and drank
that he mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had a whiskey or a scotch that he came down with as well. I'm told that he did.
Yeah.
It would not be characteristic of him, but I'm not going to speculate and say that he was. I just know for certain that he mentioned, and other people mentioned, and I observed 1 bottle of wine and observed them claim to drink a first bottle of wine at the pool.
Okay. So when you were down at the pool, Paige,
Sam,
and Johnny were all there together. Everybody's.
So at about 19:30 when I leave, he shows back up and pretty much just replaces me in my seat. It was not hostile at all. I had seen Jonathan before, had no ill will, and he had no reason to be ill towards me. So it was completely cordial. We even, what I would say, got along somewhat before then. And so as I was leaving to go check on my wife, he just kind of replaced me.
Yeah.
I know that they were joking in and out beforehand. I think something had happened where he had passed through on his way to his apartment and pushed Paige in the pool prior to 19:30. And I came out. I think I was just going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then...
Okay, so as you were going back upstairs to eat and checking your wife, he was coming out, hanging out the rest of the night.
Yeah, he was coming back down.
So you didn't spend a large amount of time out there with him, apparently.
No, I was not with him hardly at all, except for that glance that passed by around 19:30.
Did you ever come back out?
So I went back outside to the gazebos that we have facing the pool out here. At about 21:30, and I enjoy smoking cigars every now and then, so I had one that night, and I was in the gazebo on my own, just enjoying one. And I told Sam this as well, expecting, you know, Sam and Paige would cross back, they would leave the pool, and then come back to our apartment building, because Sam and my wife and I live in the same apartment building.
Yeah.
And so the gazebo was in between the pool and that building.
Okay.
So I just told her, you know, I'll be out. If y'all want to stay out or not, you'll see me as you walk by.
Yeah.
At about, I'd say 21:45 to 2200, they, all 3 of them, passed by. I wasn't expecting Jonathan to be tailing them. He was. But at that time, they all passed by and see me and join me, and they sit down, and this is when I observe the bottle of wine, the only one that I saw in the person that night. They had it with them, and he had a pink cup that he was drinking from and refilling periodically, and she had her tumbler, like a white Yeti style tumbler, that she was drinking out of.
Samantha?
Mm-hmm.
And she was with Paige then? It was just them two?
Paige was also with the trio. So it was Sam, Jonathan, Paige, yeah, that walked to the gazebo together.
Okay. Y'all sat there for a few minutes?
We sat there pretty much the rest of the night.
Okay. And they had a bottle of wine with them.
Yeah, there was like a 3/4 of it left. Yeah. It was at this time that I asked about the bottle, how is it? What is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a red blend,
Yeah.
Boring, night adult talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I observed him say that, oh yeah, this is just, we already had one at the pool. This is just another one that I had in my supply. So I tried it. I had two sips, maybe, out of Sam's cup.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was a red blend, smoky, real earthy, very dry. But my drinking that night.
Mm.
I wouldn't describe myself as drunk at all. I feel vindicated in that I'm able to recall everything as well as I can.
Mm-hmm. So how did that? Y'all sat there for a little while, then what happened next?
Would you like to know what was going on with him, action-wise, during this time? So what happened next, once they joined me, we're all talking. I think the first thing he's doing is he's on his phone. I think he's wanting to order food.
Mm-hmm.
I think he maybe mentions once or twice. He mentions once or twice going out to food. We say we're not going anywhere. Everything's closed. Like, nothing's open 24 hours right now. It's COVID.
Yeah.
He says, fine, well, I'm ordering something. What do you want? And we're just like, I don't know. We're practically still college kids. We're not like order out on DoorDash, pay a $15 delivery fee kind of money.
You're still in college, yeah.
But he's like, no, I'm ordering bonefish. What do you want? I'm going to get a burger with broccoli on the side, which I was like, what?
10 o'clock at night.
And I think he ordered calamari as well. And maybe some fries or something. So he orders that. I remember it got there and we're sharing it. And the time it took to get there, though, and afterwards, I remember. So if you're sitting, if I go back to like a quadrant, so the top of the quadrant will call where you're sitting, one, and the bottom of the quadrant is where I'm sitting, is three. You have one, two, three, four, right?
Okay.
So you're sitting where Jonathan and Paige are sitting.
Yep.
Paige would be, if you were Jonathan, Paige would be to your right.
Okay.
And then on quadrant two over here is where Sam is sitting. She's on a couch alone in the gazebo. And then I'm sitting on quadrant three, where I am in this room, sitting on another couch alone by myself. Is here I'm observing Jonathan being severely inappropriate to Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times, relentless. I observe him, he's touching her lightly in a flirtatious kind of manner.
Mm-hmm.
I observe him lean over and try and kiss Paige multiple times. Paige to me does not look in the right, shall we say,
she seemed intoxicated.
She seemed intoxicated. Yeah, she's not in the right constitution to be able to maybe think well enough to really push him away. I think he's lucky,
mm-hmm,
that she was. Paige is an MMA fighter. She won this thing called the North American Grappling Championship.
Mm.
Like,
so she can hold her own weight.
2 days prior, yeah. And I think she had to feel very uncomfortable and very pressured to not react the way that would have been appropriate for her to. I think because of the weight that he threw around, mm-hmm, regarding his job, regarding how much, where he could what he could do for these young women in terms of their
his
careers.
Influence, yeah.
His influence, yeah. What he could say to residency directors amongst the state. Mm-hmm. So with that, when he's, you know, when he's attempting to kiss her, you know, he's doing that multiple times, and he'll lean over her and just be like an inch from his face, and even trying to go in for it, and she would pull away her face. Mm-hmm. And then there are a few instances where I see him that close, like an inch away from her face, whisper something, and I, of course, can't hear it. There's a fountain behind them, it's kind of drowning out the noise.
Yeah.
I can't hear what they say. This goes on for a little bit. In between him doing this, mm-hmm. you know, I'm noticing his expressions are more exaggerated. His, you know, he's here and he's there, and he's not the cold, calculating, very particular in his movements person that I observed him before to be. Mm-hmm. I can tell he's had his drink, basically.
Did you think he was drunk? Intoxicated? I mean, was he slurring his words? Were his eyes red? I mean, he had been drinking, so.
I would call him clinically intoxicated. Drunk is a wide.
Yeah, I'm just asking your opinion.
Sure.
What you thought.
I would, yeah. He would be.
Was he stumbling over himself when he got up?
When I observed him, he would be unfit to drive. He would be. His decision making would have been impaired. As obvious as he's trying to cheat on his wife with a medical student. His coordination was unimpaired. His movements were slowed. I observed him as being clinically intoxicated.
Okay.
During all this, whenever he switches subjects from doing that to Paige, he's bouncing around saying, oh, let's go do this, let's go do that, let's do this and that, let's go to this club, let's go to this bar. Are any bars open right now? We say, no, Johnny, everything's closed right now. It's COVID. He says, okay, well, let's go to Waffle House. Let's go out and do something. He's continuing to try and get us to go out, go do something, go somewhere. Nothing's happening. At one point I said, you know, how are you going to go out? I mean, whenever you drive, whenever you drive at like 100 miles an hour, you've been drinking all night, how would you think you would even get away with that? And he said, oh, if I ever get pulled over, you know, I pull out my surgeon card, my police surgeon's card, and I just show him, and then that just gets me off. Mm-hmm. And he pulls out his surgeon's card and he shows it to me. It's a card, it's a green border on the top and bottom with a white streak through the middle of it. It just says police neurosurgeon.
Yeah. So he was bragging about being able to getting pulled over and getting out of tickets or getting out of trouble because he had that status.
Shortly after 2200, he finally got Paige to go ride in his convertible Audi with him, the one that was flipped 3 hours later.
Were you still sitting there then?
Sam and I are still sitting in the gazebo.
So when they got up to go do that?
We're sitting there, we're waiting, you know, because Sam's concerned about a friend.
Yeah.
What's it, you know?
So he talked her into going on a car ride?
Yes.
Or were they going somewhere specific?
No, they were not going somewhere specific.
Paige gets in the car with him. Okay.
I can't speak to what his plan was with the car ride. I can make my own things on what did he want to talk to her about on the car ride and what he wanted to attempt her to do on the car ride, but I don't know. They just went on a car ride with no destination in mind.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Sam and I, of course, she didn't want to leave her friend, and I didn't want to just go leave somewhere without Paige knowing where we went either, because Paige didn't live there. Her car had broken down earlier that day, so it was somebody, one of us had to get Paige something, you know, to the next place where she was going.
Yeah. Okay. So how long were they gone for? You kind of remember that?
I remember it was 22:25, and Sam remarked, you know, how long are they going to be gone? What do you want to bet that they're not back by 22? She said 10:45. That's 22:45 for the sake of continuation. And I remember just around then, probably about 22:30, they come back. And they come back. Paige is not herself. She's got her arms crossed. She's not saying anything. Johnny sits down acting like nothing had happened. Paige asks for Sam's keys to go inside. She gets up and walks into the apartment to go change of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting out there for 5 to 10 minutes, and Sam decides to go check on Paige. And so we both get up and go check on Paige. And as we're about to walk inside her apartment, Paige comes right out. So after that, we all just turn around, get back out, and get back outside shortly after, I would say, 22:45. Once we all get back down there, Paige sits in the same spot. Jonathan's continuing to rub up against her, move over, put his arm around her, attempting to be inappropriate, doing the same things he was prior to, still trying to get us to go out, still trying to get us to go for a ride. And I actually stand up and I stand up at one point, grab my keys and say, all right, fine, let's go, let's go for a ride. I'll go somewhere with you. I'll go to a bar. I'll meet this club promoter that you keep talking about. And it was at that point, you ever seen somebody react when you call their bluff?
Mm-hmm.
How they're just kind of, they just have a sheepish grin on their face, like, yeah, you got me.
Yep.
He didn't want anything to do with me.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah. And that, like, the whole night, I'm not trying to be bragging about this or to just say I have all the answers, I've figured this out, but his motives were so totally see-through. Like,
you could tell what he was doing.
Yeah, it was narcissistic. It was everything that he wanted to do was way more important than the emotions or the motives of others. Mm. So I was feeding that on the surface to get more out of him. That's how I got the police surgeon's card out of him. I said, okay, well, if you've got all this money and stuff, how do you get away with doing, driving like this? And you say, oh, I get my police surgeon card whenever I get in a spot, I can use that and get out of it.
When they came back from their first car ride, were they bragging? Was he bragging about how fast they were going, or did she describe how he was driving when they went with Paige?
Yeah, Paige is too fast. And I think he said it was like doing like an 80 and a 25. That was the numbers that I heard.
Yeah, when they came back from that car ride. What did she go change clothes for?
They were still wearing their pool attire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So then you call his bluff to tell he didn't want to go out with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, y'all sitting back out there in the gazebo.
Yeah,
and
we sit down. We sit back down. Continues on. The conversation continues on. We're talking about, he moved down here for his kids. They said, his wife said, we're moving down here back to around my parents. And he said the only reason he moved down here and started working here was for his kids. He loved his kids and he was going to stay around them. And he said, but if he's moving, I get to buy a sports car or an Audi supercar, and I get to buy a Cheetah. I'm like, the hell
Cheetah?
You get a Cheetah? Where the hell are you going to get a Cheetah from?
Yeah.
And he says, I don't know, you can have a Cheetah here. And I'm like, whatever, I've of course heard of people buying exotic pets, and there's probably, just because there's not a law on the books about it now,
just isn't as mindset of
people take that as
bragging about everything else.
There's not something I say I can't do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
About 2300, Paige gets up and leaves to go sleep in Sam's apartment. Jonathan, was kind of inquisitive as to why she left. We obviously know why she left, and we're just kind of, we're entertaining him so as to not be rude. If this were any other person, like if this were some person I've never met before and I had no idea what he did, or maybe if I had an idea of what he did and I knew that it wasn't going to impact the careers of, Sam, Paige, my wife, who is also trying to advance a career in medicine in Alabama, we would totally just blow this guy off, call him for what he was, call him out for having predatory activity. But I think because of that, because of, what he could do or what he could offer these women as far as their careers. And, you know, he'd always offered Sam to help out on research, to let her write the background or the introduction on parts of his research papers, let her sit in on a surgery. Mm-hmm. I heard this discussed multiple times. So we're still out there to save face for that purpose.
Yeah.
At 23:18,
you gotta be out there.
Yeah. At 23:18, Sam acts like she's showing me a picture on her phone of something, and it reads, "I told him to leave her alone. Her is in Paige."
Yeah.
During that short time, Jonathan moves from where you're sitting, quadrant one, to quadrant two, to where Sam is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times. Every time he does that, Sam would move away, clearly not comfortable with what was going on. Still trying to brush up against her. Sam is rejecting all of it. She's having none of it.
Yep.
Then finally, shortly before 0100 hours, I escort Sam back to her apartment. I remember walking in the door, and she says, "Where's Paige?" Paige is on the couch and says, "I'm over here, Sam." And I say, "Sam, Paige is sleeping on the couch." And then I turn around, grab the door handle, leave. And then go back upstairs. And that's the last time I hear anything from the night.
Okay.
I was not aware that she left the apartment.
You left there, was Johnny still sitting down at the gazebo? So y'all all left him there by himself?
Yeah.
Paige had gone up by herself.
Paige had gone back to Sam's apartment by herself.
Okay, and that's when Johnny moved over and sat next to Sam.
He began to move over and sit next to Sam, but when she would move away, he would go back to...
After Paige left, he started...
It was like when Paige left, he moved on to Sam.
Yep, next. I got you. Okay. She was ready to go, obviously, too, but felt she needed to be there because of this guy's status.
Yeah, and have you ever been like at dinner with your wife and friends, you know you're ready to go, and you get up as to sort of to say, "I paid the bill, it's time to go."
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Just leave. Okay. I'm tracking with you. So then y'all leave, he was there. You go back to your apartment, you don't know what happened after that.
I don't know what happens after that. I go back up. I think I send another... I send a joke in a message to Sam at like 12, at 0:02 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it ever registered that she read it, so I don't think she ever opened it.
Mm-hmm.
What that means for you, I don't know. I don't know if that means that Jonathan was immediately calling or texting her, occupying her phone for something. I don't know.
Okay. So you saw him at the pool earlier, mm-hmm, with a bottle of wine.
So
that he had brought, but you didn't see him.
I didn't see him bring the bottle of wine. I just, you know, it wasn't important. It wasn't something that, you know, I was registering.
At the time.
I just, you know, there was that time at about a little before 21, no, yeah, a little before 1930,
mm-hmm,
where I get up and go to the bathroom. And I think he's passing through as well as I'm going inside, and I think he pushes Paige in at that point. And then, mm-hmm, and then at 1730, when he's coming to take my place, those are the two times that I glance him, that I catch a glimpse of him at the pool. And the only evidence that I have to say that he was drinking was by his own admission that he had brought a prior bottle of wine to the pool that was consumed by...
You heard him say that.
By him and the group.
Yeah.
And then the bottle of wine that was in front of me that he was drinking from the rest of the night.
Okay. Well, that's good, man. Is there anything else you want to tell me about that night that you think I need to know, or you need to get off the chest, or we'll say?
No.
You wrote this statement?
I wrote this one up just to get my, you know, thoughts in order. Her lawyer asked if I ever thought that I had too much to drink. I never thought that I had too much to drink. I weighed 220 pounds, so 5 drinks over the course of 7 hours isn't gonna, you know, I'm sure you've been trained before,
mm-hmm,
isn't gonna affect me very much.
Who did you say was asking that? Whose attorney?
Sam Sam's family's attorney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to give this to me? Is this what you said you talked up to give to, what's his name?
Dr. McCullough, or not Dr., Officer McCullough
got
one of those signed as well.
He has one? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll just leave that with him then. You can keep that then.
There was never anything.
When you talked to Officer McCullough, you just talked to him on the phone, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I never observed or heard of any relationships going on between anybody, Sam and Jonathan, or Paige and Jonathan, or even Sam and I. Mm-hmm. There was never, that I knew of, any romantic relationships that were going on. I'm just totally upfront. I know that that was a question that her lawyer had. Just honest, no. Not that I ever heard of.
Do you know, you just knew Johnny in passing.
In passing, yeah.
Not any part of his program. He works at Mobile Infirmary. You're going through University of South Alabama stuff too. Are you working at Mobile Infirmary?
There's a point this year that I will be under a pharmacist, I believe, mm-hmm. in Mobile Infirmary. In that health system, but I haven't been in there yet, ever. There's one other thing that I wanted. I just thought of it.
Okay. Here, look, I'm gonna give you my information. Mm-hmm. If you ever need anything in the future, you can call me. Mm-hmm. You have a cell phone number. It's the best way to get me. Need something, I think I should know something. That's all. This concludes the interview. The time is 3:20 p.m.